HBO's brand new documentary about Bitcoin, Money Electric, The Bitcoin Mystery. Today, we review the film, discuss their search for Satoshi Nakamoto, and talk about the good and the bad from this documentary. Welcome back to The Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. We usually don't review films, but today we are going to discuss HBO's brand new documentary about Bitcoin called Money Electric, The Bitcoin Mystery. Now, I watched this film and I want to give you guys some of my thoughts. My overall opinion of the film was that it missed on some of the most important points about Bitcoin, but we do appreciate some of the aspects here to this film that bring Bitcoin to a broader audience. So I'm going to discuss what I liked about the film, what I didn't, and of course, we'll discuss their discussion of the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto. All right, I have 8 topics that I want to discuss today. Let's start with the first point here on Satoshi Nakamoto. The film attempts to reveal Peter Todd, a long-standing Bitcoin cryptographer, as Satoshi Nakamoto, goes through the investigation, names a lot of the usual suspects, and then finally determines that in this theory, Peter Todd is the one who Satoshi Nakamoto is. Now, I found the exploration of who Satoshi was, I found it interesting, and I found the way that they presented the search to be, I found it interesting, let's just say. But the conclusion and the attempt to name Peter Todd as Satoshi Nakamoto was a little awkward in the film, the way that they positioned it. Peter Todd was interviewed extensively for this film. So you hear him say, jokingly, "I am Satoshi Nakamoto" at one point in the film, and then laugh off when the filmmaker decides that, okay, he's going to reveal to Peter Todd that "I think you're Satoshi and I think that this is the evidence." Peter Todd awkwardly laughs it off and really says there at the end, he believes that this is going to be funny for people that watch it because they will go through the evidence and understand that Peter Todd is not Satoshi Nakamoto. So I want to get it out of the way first because it's not really the most important part of the film for us. Who Satoshi Nakamoto is as well isn't that important to us. And it is Satoshi's wish. We believe it is Satoshi's wish to stay concealed. And for that reason, we are not going to be investigative reporters here and try to understand or try to figure out and dox Satoshi Nakamoto. That is not, it's not even close to being our mission. However, we understand the curiosity. We're curious ourselves. So an exploration into that is something that is going to make me watch the film. And whether or not I agree with the way that they presented the who behind Satoshi Nakamoto, it was still interesting to me, and I do have more thoughts on this as we go. The Bitcoin Layer is sponsored by Unchained, the undisputed leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with collaborative multi-sig vaults in which you own 2 of 3 keys and you gain a Bitcoin security partner. You can purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage via Unchained's trading desk and eliminate all exchange risks. Unchained also offers the best IRA in the industry, where you can convert your existing 401ks or retirement accounts to Unchained, all while keeping control of your Bitcoin private keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Talk to Unchained today. Go to unchained.com/TBL for $100 off when you sign up. Ifani is a secure mobile carrier that helps prevent SIM swaps. SIM swaps are sophisticated social engineering attacks in which hackers steal your phone number by gaining access to your information. Ifani lets you sign up with AT&T or Verizon through them, but Ifani protects your mobile number from being stolen by hackers. So make sure you're protecting those online accounts. Go to ifani.com/TBL for $99 off when you sign up. Okay, the second point here is on how Bitcoin was presented broadly. Now, there is both good and bad here. The good here, I believe, is that the way Bitcoin's mechanics were presented, they had these animated blocks on the screen, and they brought the blocks back constantly to show you that the data, these transactions are in these blocks, and these blocks happen periodically every 10 minutes. The visualizations there of the blockchain, which is a chain of Bitcoin blocks, which contain Bitcoin transactions, I think it was done in a decent way. There weren't points in the film where I thought they made glaring errors on the mechanics of Bitcoin. And I think that is a small victory there. Now, some of their analogies and metaphors and the way that they describe it, we can nitpick all that. I'm not going to do that here. You guys know that I educate people on Bitcoin, both in a university setting and here at the Bitcoin layer. So I have my own analogies and metaphors. I'm not going to nitpick the way that they had their analogies and metaphors. But I will say that some of the technical components to Bitcoin and the way that they presented the Bitcoin blockchain, the way that they described some of the rules, some of the original code, I thought it was fairly well done in some of those specific aspects. For that reason alone, it's worth your time if you're looking to learn more about Bitcoin, if you're curious about Bitcoin, and you're out there thinking, should I watch this film? Should I dedicate almost 2 hours to watch this film? I think that if you are a Bitcoin beginner and you are fascinated by it, there are components to this film which are decent. Now, I will say that coming from a Bitcoin perspective and somebody that's been in this industry for 8 years, I found some of the introductory descriptions of Bitcoin, I found them challenging because it paints a very specific picture of Bitcoin that I feel is not well captured. They had several people on in this film, several little snippets. I saw some of my friends in the film. I saw, you know, lots of different people from around the industry and the way that they presented Bitcoin. Some were good, some weren't great. I will say that having Adam back on the screen for many parts of the film, beginning, middle, and end, was a good thing. So definitely a check mark for this film in having Adam back heavily featured in the film. So that's the second and third point there. One is on the Bitcoin blockchain and the technical components. They get a little check mark there. And they get another one for having Adam back heavily featured in the film because I believe that Adam back himself is a good representative of Bitcoin broadly, and the way that he describes Bitcoin, I think he represents the ethos of Bitcoin. Now, the film, let's talk about Back for a second. The film does posit Adam Back as Satoshi Nakamoto many times and talks about Blockstream. I'll get into Blockstream in a second, but just on Back himself, you got the feeling from the film that Adam Back wanted to strongly communicate he is not Satoshi Nakamoto for one reason or the other. His mission was, let me clearly communicate that I am not Satoshi and let me present the reasons why I'm not Satoshi. And he's even said it in a couple times in the film. I am trying to get this filmmaker here to understand I am not Satoshi Nakamoto. So Adam Back did make that effort, and I thought that that was interesting and it was noteworthy. Then the film talked about Blockstream a bit. And let's talk about Blockstream here as the fourth item that I want to discuss. I found the film provocative in several ways because it's talking about some of the origins of Bitcoin and some of the people that were involved early on, including Gavin Andreessen, including Roger Ver, and including some of the cypherpunks that were there before Bitcoin. So it contained a lot of characters, and here's a full disclosure for you guys. This film was close to home for me because in my second book that I'm writing right now, a lot of these storylines are in there. My book has some of the history of Bitcoin in here, so a lot of these topics do cross over with what I'm writing about. So it definitely hit home personally for me here. Now, let's get back to Blockstream. The film suggests that Blockstream and Satoshi Nakamoto had a connection there for the first several years, and that the effort to lead Bitcoin on the small block path versus the big block path was led by Blockstream, and that Adam Back's creation of Blockstream was done so to protect Bitcoin's code for the original vision of Satoshi Nakamoto. And what I'm going to make the connection here, the connection to the cypherpunk era pre-Bitcoin. And what was the original goal of Bitcoin was to be a non-government, non-bank currency that could be used online that didn't have control. Now, some of the very interesting points about Adam Back and Peter Todd, their literature before Bitcoin came out, is that both of them were focused on digital currency and the invention of a digital currency that could keep a ledger that wasn't held at a central location. Adam Back had the idea of Hashcash, which was specifically cited by Satoshi Nakamoto in the white paper, and why Adam Back has had so many connections to Bitcoin and to, or I should say, to Satoshi Nakamoto. Satoshi Nakamoto and Adam Back exchange emails before the white paper dropped. So this is all of, for all of these reasons, I believe Adam Back in the film being featured heavily is important. But again, I'm not here to try to figure out who Satoshi Nakamoto is. And I feel like the film trying to go the route of a, and of course that's how they're going to sell views, is have the mystery component. It was fascinating, but trying to name an individual there at the end, I don't believe that that was a great choice. You can leave the film a mystery because Peter Todd himself has come out and said, I'm not Satoshi Nakamoto. Adam Back said it many times in the film. Satoshi Nakamoto doesn't want to be revealed. And so keep it a mystery. That is where the film fails, and where I can't say that this is a film that I would recommend everybody to go see. I think those that are very curious about Bitcoin, and maybe some of the beginners, will find it interesting. But if you're looking to understand what the future of Bitcoin is, where it came from, there are better investigations than this film, because it focuses really on Satoshi's origin story and some of the details there that might not be so important. What is the most important aspect of Satoshi's origin story? That Satoshi Nakamoto went after the banks. Without financial institutions is in the first sentence of the white paper. Chancellor on the brink of second bailout for banks is in the Genesis block. This is a headline from a newspaper during the bank bailouts of January 2009, when the first block started to come. So what is most important about Bitcoin's creator is that Bitcoin's creator was going after financial institutions. That is what we take away at the Bitcoin layer from Satoshi Nakamoto. Without financial institutions. So we are focused on financial institutions and their role in Bitcoin, trying to come into Bitcoin, trying to buy up Bitcoin, trying to fight Bitcoin with propaganda. There's all sides of it. We are covering Bitcoin from that lens via the way that Satoshi intended, not trying to go back and figure out who Satoshi is. Now, instead of trying to figure out who Satoshi is, thinking about who Satoshi could have been before Bitcoin is relevant to us. Why? Because we have the readings of Adam Back, Hal Finney, Nick Szabo, Wei Dai. We have all of these readings. And whether or not one of them or many of them came together to create Satoshi Nakamoto, that detail is much less important than read what they wrote before. Who inspired Satoshi Nakamoto? Clearly Adam Back was one of them. So you should read everything Adam Back wrote before. And who was Adam Back associating with, and who is he messaging with? Who were the people that were working on Bitcoin before, during, and after? Read everything that Hal Finney wrote. Read the exchanges between these people. What is their goal? Their goal is to create a currency that doesn't need a center. That's it. Of course, there are many more things, but if you go back and you read the history of the cypherpunks all the way back to the 90s and even the 80s, Satoshi Nakamoto, in my opinion, could have been created in the minds of people at the early 1980s crypto conferences at the University of California, Santa Barbara, or in that area, because that's where cryptographers were studying at the time. That's where David Chaum brought together people. Finney was there. These people were there in the early 80s. This is almost 20 years before Satoshi. So instead of trying to see which person was Satoshi, read what they wrote and why they as a group created Satoshi Nakamoto or Bitcoin or inspired the person that did. They uncovered a message. I wasn't aware that Peter Todd was messaging Adam Back at the age of 15. That's fascinating to me. And that Peter Todd was some prodigy that saw Hashcash, Adam Back's creation, for being both amazing but falling short because you couldn't prevent the double spend. So there were so many people trying to, and even Peter Todd in the film saying, Satoshi figured it out before I could. So too much who is Satoshi is unhealthy. I have it just as you have it. That's why I watched the film. It's why you probably want to watch the film. Curiosity is in human nature. I'm not going to say I'm not curious who Satoshi is, but I have a responsibility as an independent research firm covering Bitcoin and global macroeconomics that who is Satoshi is not part of what we do. And for that reason, this film is going after the wrong thing. Now let's get into a few more things about the film. I've covered the Satoshi hunt, their presentation of the blockchain. I've covered Blockstream, and I thought that the parts about Blockstream were provocative and interesting. We've had Andrew Polstra on. We could never get Greg Maxwell to come on. He doesn't do interviews anymore. There's a lot of lore there in the early Bitcoin years within the halls of Blockstream. It was interesting to learn that Peter Todd was eating all the Blockstream food but wasn't on the payroll at the time. So if you are a Bitcoin enthusiast and you want to watch it for anything, I would say that the whole part about Blockstream was interesting. And I'll tell you from a personal standpoint, when I was going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole in 2016, and I saw Blockstream and the cryptographers working at Blockstream and what they were working on. This was even, you know, in the SegWit days where they were working on C Lightning. I was watching these guys and making an assessment that these are some good stewards for Bitcoin. I didn't know enough then to understand some of the things that I know now about the cryptographers that were working on it and what they wanted to protect. I understand more now, understanding the cypherpunk history today. So I just thought it was very interesting. I mentioned the block size war. I'll bring that back as another item here. The block size war and the way that they covered it in the film, I thought was very decent. Okay, it's not going to be perfect, and it really pits two sides against each other when it wasn't as much that. It was Bitcoin going on about and then an attack on Bitcoin. So I really believe that the block size wars were an attack on Bitcoin. It's presented as a war where you have two factions. But the reason I say that it was very decent is because the cargo analogy with the trains, and if you just wanted to make the cargo bigger, would that affect the technical nature of the trains? That whole analogy was decent. It really was. And showing why one faction wanted bigger blocks and one didn't, I thought it was presented in a way that was a good intro for a lay audience. So I'll give credit to the film on covering the block size war. They interviewed Roger Ver, you know, quite a bit, but they didn't make him look like the authority figure. Now, I will say that they made Nouriel Roubini look authoritative in the film, and that was one of my biggest problems with the film, is that when you interview someone and you have the setting look very nice and all white and clean, it's trying to make that person look like the smartest person in the room. And believe you and me, the Nouriel Roubini has one of the worst track records on Bitcoin. He might have a philosophical agenda and a philosophical take on why he's opposed to Bitcoin, but the film featuring him and his counterpoints to Bitcoin, they could have picked much better critics. They could have picked much better critics for Bitcoin that have more credibility. Okay, now let's talk about the rest of cryptocurrency, Ethereum, etc., and the way that they portrayed non-Bitcoin cryptocurrencies in the film. This would be one of the better parts of the film here. They showed and they heavily featured the word shitcoin throughout the entire film. They actually overused it, in my opinion, because it doesn't need to be. We don't need to describe central bank digital currencies as shitcoins. They're not. They're government coins. They're dollar substitutes. They're Federal Reserve liabilities. They're not shitcoins. Shitcoin is something very specific about a cryptocurrency that doesn't have any inherent value aside from Bitcoin. So they overuse the word for sure, but they presented Ethereum to look very bad in the film. They showed Ethereum developers very awkwardly rapping on stage during a product unveiling that they did or a code update. And Adam Back called it proof of cringe, which was maybe the best line of the film. Of course, not coming from the filmmaker, but from Adam Back. And I will say that if anybody watched this film and came away thinking that, oh, I need to go out and look for the next shitcoin, they didn't watch the film very closely. So from that perspective, I will give the film a check mark. The last two topics I have are on CBDC and on banks. So these are two areas in which the film falls very flat. And because it focused on the mystery of who is Satoshi Nakamoto, the film can't really get into banking history, the Federal Reserve, how money works. You guys use us for that. And my second book, my first book, Layered Money, all the videos that we've done here at the Bitcoin Layer, these are the educational resources that you need to understand. What is money? Why did Bitcoin come about? How can we compare Bitcoin to gold? Why can we compare Bitcoin to gold? Why is it a fool's exercise to start comparing Bitcoin to the Chinese central bank digital currency and without much of an explanation? That's what the film did. It, you know, went straight from Bitcoin to the Chinese CBDC to potentially a Federal Reserve CBDC, but it didn't get into any of the nuances of how stablecoins work, about how a central bank digital currency would work, about how Bitcoin has nothing to do with central bank digital currency because Bitcoin itself is a commodity. And so while the film had a decent analogy or some visualization comparing Bitcoin mining to gold mining, the way Bitcoin mining was presented in the film fell short. It really didn't do enough to talk about what Bitcoin mining is all about and some of the values there and why Bitcoin mining growing so much is good for the world. It did the, you know, bad for the environment a little bit, which is, of course, terrible. And, you know, it doesn't really include any of the latest research on how Bitcoin is driving renewables. So there were a bunch of shortfalls there. But with specificity to Bitcoin being a commodity and not a currency substitute, it completely failed. And we don't even expect the film to adhere to our standards for financial literacy. That's not what we're sending you to the film for. That's why you have us here at the Bitcoin Layer. And what motivates me to write more books about Bitcoin, because I believe that there's just a lot more education that needs to be done around Bitcoin and its place in the world. Now, what did Peter Todd say at the end of the film? And again, another check mark for the film for actually including this. They said, hey, Peter Todd, we think you're Satoshi. Peter Todd said, I think it's Bitcoiners are going to find it funny because you completely missed the point, which is that Bitcoin is tracking towards becoming a global currency. Now, I like that Peter Todd didn't say replacing the dollar. Replacing the dollar and becoming a global currency aren't mutually exclusive here. Bitcoin can exist alongside the dollar. It can grow for decades and decades to come, with the dollar system also coexisting, but Bitcoin giving people the opportunity to hold an asset, a commodity that is digital, scarce, and is not in the hands of any government or corporation and does not exist as a liability for any counterparty. That's what makes Bitcoin special. And we will continue to promote Bitcoin education that shows people the value of Bitcoin and why it is an important human tool. Thanks for sticking with us. Make sure to go subscribe to our free research publication at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.